Today, thank you because the sick are healed. Thank you because the oppressed are made free today by the simple teaching of your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship your name for your anointing in the house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. It's a serious study this evening, actually. And I didn't know, and we are just going to finish it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Okay, our salvation part 7. Gibraltar Bible, we didn't plan to study this long before. But rain kidnap him, and lo and behold, you will be blessed. Amen. Juliet, how are you doing? Good, good. Okay, you and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution, right? Are you there? Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hallelujah. Okay, go back to verse 15. When he said all scripture in verse 15, look at your Bible, see the difference between verse 15 and verse 16. Verse 15 says, and from a child you have known the only scripture which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, the word scriptures in verse 15 is from a Greek word grammar. You can write that down if you're writing. G-R-A-M-M-A. Please, you need these details today. The word scriptures from verse 15 is from the Greek word grammar. Grammar. Don't mind me, I may be a bit rusty for now. I will get into preaching very soon. So from the Greek word grammar, the meaning is what is written. Grammar means the exact information. When he was telling Timothy, from a little child, you have known the details of what was written. You have known the exact information. Are you with me? Okay. Grammar means what? What is written. Like the exact information, the details, the content. Friends. Well, so, you say, okay, that means Timothy has, she knew, they have to tell me, Timothy needs Psalm 107, he knew Psalm 103, knew Psalm 35, he knew as 40, my people, he knew all those, the content of the scripture. So the content of the scripture is able to make you wise. The content of the scripture is able to make you wise. Wise there, Greek word sophizo. S-O-P-H-I-Z-O. Write it down. Wise, from a Greek word, like is a type, is a derivative of Sophia. S-O-P-H-I-Z-O. It means cornily devised. That is the same Greek word that is that was used in chapter when he says you have not followed cornily devised. So he said, when you know the grammar, you will be smart. You will be smart. The information in the Bible can make you smart. Hallelujah. The information in the Bible can make you smart. And to be wise is to apply the information in the Bible for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Smartness will now be for you to translate the information you are receiving, to what? To understand salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The moment you start using the book of Proverbs for business principles, the moment you look at the book of Esther and the best you can bring out of it is how to organize beauty contests, it means you are not smart. It means you are a fool. It means you are dull. Of course, not you. Amen. Praise God. Luke 24. So, when you cannot see salvation True faith in Christ Jesus, in the Bible, in the pages of the Bible, in the content of the scripture, it shows you are not wise. It shows you are not wise. Luke 24, let's see an example of such people in this place from verse 17. And this is the story of when two guys are walking on the road of Emmaus. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and you are sad? Verse 18, and the name of one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and you have not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And Jesus, he said, what things? And they said unto him, listen everybody, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a what? A what? Prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Verse 20, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. 24. Want to go? Yes. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now, what are the ideas in the head of these men? Number one, they are saying Jesus is a prophet. Their best comprehension of Jesus is that he was a prophet. Just like Elijah, just like Moses, just like Jonah, just like Habakkuk. Amen? That he was a prophet, not the Son of God. Imagine after you have taught people for 3.5 years, and they cannot, you know, remember Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked them, say, what do men say that I am? So your understanding of Jesus is vital. Now, so number one, they saw Jesus as a prophet, not as a Son of God. Okay, and they were saying, are you with me, everybody? Okay, good. So number two, they were crying at his suffering. See that verse 20, how the chief priest delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. So they were like lamenting. He died. They never knew it was the death that they deserved, that he was dying. They were similar to people that watch the video of Passion of the Cross nowadays, and they will watch and they say, hey, they kill my savior. That was your death. Bashimes, are you with me? That was your death. So when you hear of how they nail him to the cross, how they crucify him, and you are sad, and you are saying, it shows you are not smart. Now, see, what's the next thing? No, you are seeing Jesus die on the cross. It's up to shout glory that, yes, that's my death is pain. You say, hey, they are killing him. Amen. So, also, number three, they saw him as a miracle worker. Their best comprehension of Jesus was that he was a what? Miracle. That's verse what? Go back to verse 20. 19. He was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God. That is good, but that is not enough. That was not his mission statement. To be candid, the miracles happened before Jesus was born, right? Moses did miracles. Elijah did miracles. So what's the difference between Jesus and this man? They forgot John 1:29. That behold the Lamb of God that does what? Takes away the sin of the whole world. They forgot Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. During the naming ceremony of Jesus, when they said, hey, his name shall be called Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. So they have an awkward comprehension of the person of Jesus. Are you with me? So, number one, they saw him. What's number one that I told you? As a prophet, not as the Son of God. Number two, they were crying at his suffering instead of shouting glory. Number three, they saw him only as a miracle worker. Nothing concerning sin. Nothing concerning justification. Are you with me? And let me just stop at number four. Number four, they were not expecting his resurrection. They were so clueless. You know how many times just told them, he used the analogy of Jonah. He said the same way that Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the what? Whale's belly. So also will the Son of Man will be what? 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Over and over again in Matthew 16, he told them how he will die and he will be raised from the dead. But on that third day, not one person was expecting him to come out. Praise God. So, that was how best they can comprehend Jesus. I remember like more than 15 years ago now, that like there's a church then close to my house, and they have funny songs. People like, because that's why it's very tricky. It's actually tricky. When you are inviting, when you have a church, right? And your banner, what you wrote in the banner is, come to Jesus, the miracle worker. Come to Jesus, the boo and bear provider. In fact, you even see programs of what? Oh God, give me husband or I die. Praise God. Clueless. That duty of Jesus, they could not comprehend. If I'm really going somewhere today, follow me. So they fit all the qualifications for spiritual dollars. Hallelujah. See, when the only thing you see in Christ is how to get a new job, the only thing you use the blood of Jesus for is when you have bad dreams or to pour into your radiator. When you are, say, I cover the enemy with the blood of Jesus, I cover the crusher with the blood of Jesus, I put the head of everything in the blood of Jesus, I cover the driver with the blood of Jesus, myself, I drink the blood of Jesus. It's lack of appreciation. It shows you are not smart. Salvation through what? Faith in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Okay, so let's now see how Jesus replied in verse 25. When you only value or speak about the resurrection of Jesus at Easter, it's only at Easter you remember Jesus died and rose again for you. It shows you are clueless. Amen. So verse 25, everybody want to go? Then he said unto them, what? Whole fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning who? Himself. Hallelujah. Praise God. So when you cannot see Jesus from the scripture, when you cannot see salvation through faith in Christ from the scripture, it shows foolishness in spiritual things. Say, I'm not foolish. Say, I'm smart. Say, I'm wise to see Jesus in the pages of the scripture. So go back to verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. So from a child, you have known the only scripture. That would mean Timothy is not just carrying the Bible as a talisman, as a talismanic material. Sorry to say, I'm sorry for my grammar. It's not just carrying the Bible as an amulet, as a good luck charm. He knew the content. So in your Bible, verse 15 is talking about content. Are you with me? Content of the book. What is written inside? Are you with me, brother? Verse 16. Are you there? Okay. 16 again. Want to go? Yes. Let's read. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Stop. Now, 16 now says all scripture. Now, the Greek word of the word scripture here is graphe. Scripture in verse 15 is grammar. Please get this today and understand it today. This is just the bedrock of script of Bible interpretation. Scripture in verse 15 is what? What is verse 16? Graphe. Now, graphe means a document. Graphe simply means a book. I want to explain this to you very well today. A book. So, please give me a book. Sorry, I'm using soft copy. I need a hard copy. Give me a book. Or a, just give me a Bible. Thank you. Now, so therefore, if it is in the context here, if I am reading Isaiah 53 for you from this place, what am I communicating? Grammar. But if I simply say, Juliet, take, what is that? Graphe. Graphe is the whole document. Grammar is what? The content. Now, what is breathed by God in verse 16? All scripture, graphe. Are you with me? So, okay, it says it's given by the inspiration of God. Write this down. That word given by the inspiration is from the Greek word theonutos. Theo, that is God. T-H-E-O. Then pneuma, like P-H-E-U-S-T-O-S. T-H-E-O. P-N-E-U-S-T-O-S. It means God breath. Now, the whole book is God breath, is given by the inspiration of God. Meaning, God ensured that you have this book. I will explain. He's not saying it is God that was speaking in all the Bible from Genesis to Malachi. It's not saying it is God that was making all the comments in the Bible. At least angels spoke in the Bible, right? Satan spoke in the Bible. God did not inspire them to speak. But God inspired somebody to compile all the grammar. Are you with me? God told somebody, likely the scribes, to, that's why at times you'll be reading Psalm, you see a Psalm of David, a Psalm of Abs, a Psalm of this man, of that man. So God now told somebody to compile the grammar and to put it in a book so that you will have something to study. So when he said all scripture is given by the inspiration, now at times when some people are quoting like Matthew 23 about tithe for you, that say, but Bible says, Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. Thank God I forgot that scripture. Bring all you the what? Tithe into my storehouse that they may be missing my house. Prove me, or else you'll be cursed. Yeah, but Bible said it. And the Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. God told somebody to write down the folly of prophet Malachi so that you can wake up today to what? To decipher the truth. Are you with me? So, what was inspired by God? Compilation. Brashimes. Hope I'm too elementary. Thank you. So God did, write it down this way. God did not speak all the grammar. God did not speak all the content. But God inspired the graphe. God ensured there is a compilation of grammar for you to read and understand. Hallelujah. Praise God. God ensured there is a compilation of different grammar. Don't forget, grammar is not fully inspired of God. You will see where God spoke, where Satan spoke, where Adam spoke, where Eve spoke, when they lied, Sarah lied. God did not inspire Sarah to lie, right? God didn't inspire Pharaoh to say and not to allow Israel to go, no. But God ensured that all those different ages was compiled. Hallelujah. For instance, when Moses was 40 days on Mount Sinai, what do you think he was doing? He was compiling Genesis. That is why Genesis was still called a book of Moses, although Moses lived when? In Exodus. But it's called Genesis because it was Moses that now sat down and wrote everything out. So that it was written does not mean it is God's will.
They just gave you an honest document. This is what happened in the church. Ananias and Sapphira, they lied, they died. Simple, full stop. They have not explained to you. Honest documentation from Genesis to Malachi. Are you with me? Okay, so grammar is fully God-bred. What is grammar? Juliet. No. What is grammar? Content. What is graphic? Compilation. Everything together. What is grammar? Content. The words, the information, the thought pattern that the Bible is communicating. Are you with me? Good. So, for instance, Elijah killed people in the Old Testament, right? But Jesus came and corrected him. That would mean what he did then was not what? Inspired by God. But it was compiled. Say, Jesus is the truth. That is why don't get upset when you hear words like the Bible is not the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. But from the Bible, you can explain out who? The word of God. In the beginning was the word, right? See how you guys are looking at me. You come early. The beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God, right? Didn't say the word was Bible. No. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by, not by the Bible, by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. That was not Bible. Amen? So Jesus, Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. So Jesus is the word of God. But of course, can we still call Bible the word of God? Yes, but you must understand what you are saying. We are not calling the Bible word of God because God spoke everything inside. And especially the Old Testament needs to be explained. Praise God. Praise God. Good. So, God ensured that graphe is compiled so that the new creation can come and explain everything. So that, like, for instance, when Moses was saying, thou shalt not commit adultery. No, Jesus came and said, okay, adultery is no longer about the act. Even the thought is what? It's adultery. So what do you think Jesus was doing? Do you think he was raising the bar? No, he was explaining the reason why man is acting, why he's acting. Jesus was saying the adultery is more than the action. It starts from where? The thoughts. First Timothy chapter 4. So he said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. The word profitable there in the Greek means it is advantageous. Ophilemos. It means it is advantageous. The Bible is advantageous. That is the same word you see when in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8 when he says, bodily exercise profited what? Little. So the word profit there is the same Greek word used in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So now, let's get to where I'm going. Profitable for what? What's the first thing for what? I'm explaining these words one after the other. All scripture is God-breathed, so the whole book is profitable. Sorry, what is the meaning of profitable? Advantageous. So, is it saying all scriptures are doctrine? That's a question. What did he write? Profitable for doctrine. It didn't say all scriptures are doctrine. But all scriptures are what? Profitable. That would mean you will have to labor on the scripture to bring out profit. There is no profit if there is no business, if there is no engagement, if there is no jingolesis. I don't know if there is in dictionary, don't mind me. Just like it. So, for you to bring out doctrine from the Bible, it is not word for word. It is not 30 and 30. You must labor. by the Spirit of Christ. So profitable for what? Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. Now, doctrine there, that's the Greek word, didaskalia. You should know that. Didaskalia. It means all scripture is profitable for learning, for teaching. Please pay attention to me today. I mean, to what I'm saying today. It's very key. It's just like Bible interpretation, but it's still under our salvation. And this is part 7. So, doctrine, Greek word, okay, let me spell it for you. D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-I-A. D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-I-A. Didaskalia. It means teaching, learning. All scripture is profitable for learning. Doctrine, learning, teaching. Next word, reproof. Of course, reproof, that is from the Greek word evidence. I mean, in the Greek, it means evidence. The same word is used only twice in the Bible, used in Hebrews chapter 11, when it's saying faith is the word evidence of things not seen. Is so, if you are, the scripture is profitable for evidence. That would mean if you want to give evidence about eternal life, evidence about heaven, evidence about how we are going to get there, evidence about the things of the Spirit, you will have to labor on the graphe. You will labor on the book. That will mean you will not just pick one grammar and form a monument on it. You will pick the whole book. Graphe is the whole book. Are you getting this? I'm just trying to repeat this as much as I can so that it can just sink down to today. So, reproof. Next word, correction. Correction. Of course, correction from the Greek means like you are being restored to a state of uprightness, to a state of correctness, improvement of life. Now, actually, the way correction is used in the Bible is like you are straightening things up. Remember when that woman that was bent like this for 18 years? That should be Luke chapter 13. I'm coming. Luke 13. Because correction is from the Greek word EPA. Wait, you have to pronounce this one. EPA NOR, right? THOSIS. Epanosis, right? Is the T standard? The TH. Epanotosis. Epanotosis. It means restoration to a state of uprightness. See Luke 13 from verse 11. And he behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together. You guys look at the Bible. And could not in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. Verse 13. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. That word, she was made straight, is the same Greek word, epanotosis. Epanotosis. So, correction is to make things straight. So, when there is confusion in the body of Christ, you saw me, Bodukoya, in hell, she was wearing trousers. She was, you saw somebody, Dowser is in hell because he likes gold. How do we straighten things up? We don't rely on visions. We will rely on the labor from the scriptures. Praise God. Hallelujah. Profitable. That's the word that connects everything together. Profitable. Are you with me? So, and lastly, for instruction in righteousness. Oh, the word instruction is the same Greek word for chastisement. That is let me spell it. P-A-I. I'm not a Greek man. D-E-I-A. I think it's just two, three syllables. Paideia, yes. Paideia. P-A-I-D-E-I-A. It means correction. It means chastisement. When he was saying in Hebrews chapter, Hebrews 12, that the son whom the father loves, he what? He chastises. The same word there. So if you want to chastise somebody, you will not also just do it from the scripture. You will labor don't forget the word, profitable. So, to bring out correction for redress from the Bible, it must not be verbatim. E.g., some people offended Moses, and Moses told the ground to open up and what? Swallow them. That it was written does not mean you will do your own like that today. Amen? Why is even government will arrest you? Praise God. Okay. Instruction in righteousness. Of course, righteousness from the Greek word, that is justification. See where I'm going. So, what do you think is common from all this word? From doctrine, instruction, evidence, everything. Words. Learning. Teaching. Please write this down. All scripture is not for prayer points. There's a very bad attitude in Christianity that when you are reading every portion of the Bible, you are looking for how it relates to you. You are reading the story of Esther, and the only thing you can see there is every Haman sends to assassinate my destiny. Now, I preached a sermon years ago when I was in school. Know the title? I call it Rachel's Wedding Night. Hallelujah. You are shaking your head for me. You should. I said, on that, you know, it was Rachel that wedded Jacob, right? In the day. In the night, you now swap Rachel for Leah, right? And I said, come and see prayer point. Hey, every power waiting for you on your honeymoon. if I search my room in Yakure, I will still find the preaching there. I save everything. Rachel's wedding night. All we as sheep have once gone astray. Praise God. So all scripture is not given for you to meet your daily needs. Scripture is for learning. Scripture is for you to know God. The graphe, right? Remember? The graphe is so that you can know and explain God. So, when you are reading through the scripture, stop looking for where to put yourself. You are not Esther. You can never be Ruth. Ruth is a virtuous woman. And they will do a all-woman conference on the lifestyle of Ruth. What is Ruth in your life? That is not the purpose. The reason why Ruth is given unto you, why the book of Habakkuk is given unto you, why Songs of Solomon, sorry for that, is given unto you, is one central purpose. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that you can learn from it and understand what? Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So, learn to pay attention to details. Tell your neighbor, say, pay attention to details. Now, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12.
All glory to the Father for the ransom you pay. All glory. All glory to the Father for the ransom, for the ransom you paid for my soul.
Okay, Matthew 12. So I went through all that to show you that the scriptures is not, you can't go to Bible. Bible has rules. The Bible has rules of engagement. There are things you must not do from the Bible. There is a reason the Bible is given to you. E.g., if you open the book of Proverbs and you are teaching business principle from Proverbs, you can say it's working, but it's an abuse of the purpose of the scripture. Why is the scripture given to you? Profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, for, next word, correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God can be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And if you read what we have been, the pretext of that place, you will see that the good work there is to be able to convince the man that is in error, to be able to explain God, to be able to talk about the person of Jesus, to be able to explain salvation. So, no matter how romantic the book of SOS looks to you, you must format your brain not to see romance from that book. You see Jesus. Say, I see Jesus. Hallelujah. So let's go to our topic today. Matthew 12, verse 22. I first start today from the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Don't forget, that graphic and grammar, listen to it over and over again, and I will ask you again soon as, like, we have an exam. Amen. Serious. Matthew 12, 22. Okay, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. 23, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? 24, I want to go, everybody. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebul, the prince of devils. 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? 27, and if I by Beelzebul cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Wherefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. 29, or else, please listen, follow it. How can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now, funny enough, we just saw verse 31 from nowhere. Want to go to 31? Yes. Wherefore, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Now, think about it. We still finish reading it. Are you with me, everybody? Are you with me? Now, what was happening? Jesus casted out a demon, right? Sorry, there's anything like casted? No, it's cast. Cast does not have past tense. So Jesus cast out a demon. And they said, no, you are casting out a demon by the spirit of Beelzebul. You are using a demonic spirit to manipulate people, to drive out demons. Jesus first addressed what they said. Jesus first explained to them how a man with demon cannot cast out a demon. Are you with me? He first said, oh, I am not casting out demon by the spirit of Beelzebul. No, a demon cannot cast out another demon. But after Jesus finished explaining what they said, he now went to their intention. So verse 31, right? Where are we? 31. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But his blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. 32. So you can understand that this is not just about This is not because he has just spoke against Jesus. But 32 was there. Whosoever speak against the Son of Man shall be what? Forgiven him. But whoso speak against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. 33, elder make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. 34, O generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. 36, want to go? Yes. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words, and by thy words, thou shalt be condemned. So Jesus first addressed what they said. Later, he now addressed why they said what they said. So rejoice. Why did you think the Pharisees said that to Jesus? Think. Help him. Unbelief. So there was a desperate attempt. Like there was a desperate. No, do you know it's possible for Buhari? Sorry, why didn't you mention his name? I'm alive. It's possible for our president in Nigeria to tar the road of some to the village of some people, tie the road to the front, in fact, to his bedroom, and yet they will never see anything good in him. You understand? That would mean because of their preconceived idea, they are not ready. So even if the man improves, they will. So I'm not supporting anybody now. Don't get me wrong. But they will just find it difficult to see anything good in what he's doing. So, Jesus was casting out a demon. They saw the demon left. They too, they have been doing religious things for so long. They have not casted out a fly before. But you saw somebody casting out a demon. They said, no, it's a lie. You are doing this. No, there was a time that the disciples of Jesus, they were picking corn. They said, you people, you are breaking the law. Why must you be picking corn on Sabbath day? There was another time Jesus healed a man on Sunday. And, Sabbath day, there should be their Sabbath day, or anyone you call it. On their Sabbath. You know, let me not go to the Sabbath issue today. So, Jesus healed on a Sabbath. And do you know what they said? They said, why can't you heal him on another day? Like they themselves, which one have they healed before? The Bible says, sorry about that. Like, you are not doing the man that wants to do, you are speaking against him. So he now got, so this is like a pig. Now you understand unbelief. So unbelief is not just a day activity. They are exercising themselves in it. Like you are fabricating reasons not to believe him. You are striving hard. You are working hard to say, no, this man, I'm not believing your message. Are you with me? So Jesus now told them that, guys, what you are doing, it has no forgiveness. If you maintain this, your stand, if you keep resisting the message of the Holy Ghost, which is Christ Jesus, remember Hebrews chapter 3, as the Holy Ghost said, what? Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Please don't forget all these details, we are going somewhere. Harden not your heart. So there is a reason they said what they said. What is the reason? Unbelief. No, you can know the difference between just you are not really, you have not agreed with something, and you are laboring not to agree. Just like I said, Juliet, what is the color of this place? He said it's white. I said this is white. He said no. He said this is pink. See, it's very well. I said no, it's pink. I immediately, as I left this place, you quickly brought poster color. You painted it pink. Like. You know, that is a level of self-deception. You just want to prove it that, no, you are wrong. Remember in Matthew 22 or 23, 22, that the Bible says they were now sending people to go and try in with hard questions. That's why they brought the case of the girl that married the man, lady that married seven husbands, say in the resurrection, whose whose bulls, whose bay will it be, will she be? And just say, hey, say, just ask to say, how many again? Say seven. Seven. The woman must be a superstar. After that one left, another one came. Say, what is the greatest of the commandment? After that one left, I just said, okay, you should come. Let me ask you one. Now and I asked them, the Lord said unto my Lord. So why is David calling him Lord? Since he's his son. They just packed their Bible. Say, don't worry. It's enough of question. Let's kill him. Praise God. Now, so it's not about what they have said. Don't forget, anybody that speaks a word against the Son of Man, what will happen? They will be forgiven. Hallelujah. That statement is actually sweet. He said, all manner of sin shall be forgiven, man. Think about that. He's just checkmate. He says, all manner of sin shall be. It is after they ask, it is after they confess. It is after they weep for it. He said, don't worry. He said, all manner you will be forgiven. That means God will not judge man for all manner of sin. He said, but there's a sin. Why? Because that sin that cannot be forgiven is to reject forgiveness. Is to reject forgiveness. So, Jesus is not about them deriding Jesus. It's not about them saying Jesus is saying, is the reason why they are saying it. That is why two people can be saying the same thing. One will be justified, one will be condemned. Praise God. So, that desperate attempt to discredit Jesus is such a sin with no forgiveness. Now, this is where I'm going. Believers don't sin this sin. This sin we are talking about, sin against the Holy Ghost, believers don't sin it. Now, sin does not mean the same thing in the entire Bible. Write this down. Under at least the ones I have seen in the Bible, under the, let me say, category of sin, number one, we have what I call moral sins. Number two, we have unbelief to the gospel. Number three, we have preaching false doctrine. That means preaching your unbelief. And number four, we have the sin of Adam. Adam. Which although it's unbelief, but that one, it has its own place. It's special. So what is number one? Moral sins. Number two, unbelief to the gospel. Number three, preaching false doctrine. Number four, sin of Adam. Now, for instance, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. So these things, most of the time, they were treated differently in the Bible. I beg you, anytime you see sin in the Bible, look for which of these four he's talking about. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because funny enough, it's not even all because you know now we are in a dilemma. Like we have some sin that the blood of Jesus cannot forgive, right? Matthew 12, the one we just read. We all have some sin that you that you don't say anything about. You just believe it goes away and forget about it. Sin of Adam. And we also have some sin that God will still use to judge people. So, anytime you see sin in the Bible, look for which of these is talking about. Especially when you are reading Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 8, 1 John. Now, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's see this one. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Open your Bible. Verse 19. Want to go? Yes. Nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The question is, what iniquity was he talking about here? The answer is there. Go to verse 15. Just go up a bit. Verse 15. What is there? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. 17. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who consign the truth have heard, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So, 19 now told you to depart from iniquity. What is he telling you to depart from? Preaching false doctrine. Context. Preaching false doctrine, not lying. Go to 1 John. First John, chapter 1. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then, if we say we have not sinned, right? We make him a liar and his word is not in us. In this verse here, 8 to 10, is it unbelief or preaching false doctrine? Is this unbelief here or preaching false doctrine? Read verse 8. If we say, verse 10, if we say, so their unbelief, is it personal? Is it personal? No, now they are saying it. So there is difference between when you don't believe something and when you are saying, I don't believe this, or when you are proclaiming your unbelief. So of course this one is both. Amen? They are in unbelief and they are pushing their unbelief. They are saying it. Praise God. Are you with me, brethren? So, to say we have no sin is no more just their own opinion. They are saying something. Go to chapter 3, verse 7. So, what we saw in 2 Timothy chapter 2, right, is for a man that has believed the gospel, in quotes, to be what? Preaching false doctrine. Do you remember now? Do you remember? Okay, go back there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. See verse 17 and 18. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. What happened? Who consign the truth have heard. So, do they look like somebody that has once believed? Talk now. Yes. So, but they have heard. And what is their error? They say that they are saying the resurrection is past. So, like they are saying like things like no more rapture. Like we are just, this earth is our own. And the issue now is that, see verse 18. What is the issue? Verse 18. Who consign the truth have heard, saying. So they were saying something. It's no more personal. It's no more their own personal private palaver. It's now what they are putting on the megaphone. So these are believers that are deceived and they are now preaching their deception. But in 1 John chapter 1, they are unbelievers, because see what they are saying. That would mean you will have to look at the content of the unbelief. Are you with me? To know what is happening. This one, they are saying, we have not sinned. We don't need redemption. We have no sin. Not speaking based on the sacrifice of Jesus, on the validity, on the cleansing in the blood of Jesus, but speaking based on their own default, that no, we have not sinned. And they are saying it. So go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. This is where I'm really going again today. Praise God. Let's do this in 40 minutes so we can go. Are you ready? 1 John 3, verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay, verse 8. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are what? Manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew him, because his own work were what? Evil, and his brother's righteous. 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth where? In death. 15. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Okay, go back to verse 8. Please, this time, look at your Bible. We have looked at this once, but let's dig deeper. Okay, now, the devil sinned from the beginning. Go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Don't forget that verse 8. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil does what? He sinned from the beginning. So go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Let's see how the devil sinned from in the beginning. 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof thou shalt surely what? Die. So that is God's word. Very clear. Of course, if you want to know the meaning of all this, you get our series Understanding Genesis. Okay, go to chapter 3, verse 1. 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made, and he said unto the woman, yea, as God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Verse 2. Oh, Katil Rosia Bakati Bandosa, Pamana, Rasta Gotiliro Kati, Nakosa, Tekibinda, Lozama, Nasta, Madamanta. See, God actually, see, don't zone the word from the miraculous. Expect the word to work in your body. Expect the word to work in the organs of your body. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For the gospel of Christ is what? Is the power of God. In sharing this message of Christ is the power of God being unleashed. See yourself as the man justified. See yourself as the one, because as the one, as the reason why God compiled this old scripture, that you might live a sweet life, even on earth. So in the world, there is healings for you. There is health for you. There is security. There is security. There is security. There is security.
there is security for you. Say the word is working on my life. Say the word works in every organ of my body. Say the word works. Say the word works. Say my body, the word, it works. Hallelujah. Good, good, good. Okay, verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the garden, of trees of the garden, verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God said, you shall not eat of it, nor touch it, lest you die. Verse 4 and 5. Want to go, everybody? And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Ah. So what is the serpent doing? He was falsifying the word of God, right? God told them, if you eat, you will die. The serpent said, if you eat, you will not, you will not die like that. What is he saying in verse 5? For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Okay, now, pay attention. Pay attention, everybody. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant for the eyes, look at the Bible, everybody. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So, the first, write this down. So, Satan had a disdain for the truth. Satan, he had a disdain for the truth. He hated the truth. Now, to hate the truth is to be resolute in your unbelief. I've seen people that we have preached to before, that we gave them all the evidence, and they tell you that even if what you are saying is true, leave me and my religion. Some people say, don't worry, I know you are correct, but I cannot leave this thing. So, to hate the truth, are you with me, brethren? Write this down like that. To hate the truth is to be resolute in your unbelief. It's to take a stand against the truth of the gospel. I'll show you an example. Acts 13:44. Don't worry, we are still studying salvation. Acts 13:44. And the next Sabbath day came almost. Open your Bible. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. 45. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spoke against these things which were spoken by Paul. What? Contradicting and blaspheming. Let me read that verse for you again, 45. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. You can see that it was not personal, right? They spoke against what Paul was saying. Now, wait. See, they were filled with what? Envy, right? Okay. Envy there means they were filled with with jealousy. It's like an advanced jealousy. Indignation. They were filled with jealousy. This man, where did you just come from? And you're just talking, people are just following you. Okay. He said they now speak against. Are you with me? Now, that word speak against and contradicting is the same thing. Antilego in the Greek. It's like you are gainsaying something. How do you gainsay? Antilego in the Greek. That's speaking against, contradicting. You are gainsaying something. That would mean you will pick something you know is true. You will deliberately counter it. Are you with me? You will deliberately counter it. You will deliberately say something against it. Of course, blasphemy is there, which means like
you are speaking evil of something. So these are also the things that the devil did. The devil hated the truth.
Wait, I'm coming there gradually.
He hated the truth. He spoke against it. So what is the fruit of that ministry of the devil?
Deception.
He was able to what? Deceive Eve.
Are you with me?
He lied to Eve, right?
See where he started from, bro. I want to get to get the link before I start rounding up.
The devil hated the truth. That hatred now produced fruit. One of the fruit of the hatred is he now starts lying against the truth. He lied to Eve. He also succeeded in what? Deceiving Eve, right?
Okay, good. See Acts 14, verse 1.
And that is the same thing the so-called Antichrist in 1 John are trying to do to the people. They are trying to deceive them. They are trying to take them out of the truth. Don't forget in chapter 2, he told them that these guys, they were among us. But they went out of us that they might be made manifest that they were never of us. Good. See chapter 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up. Can you see? What did their unbelief lead them to do? They did something. They now stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Wow. So unbelief does not stop at unbelief.
Are you with me, Ife? Ife, are you with me? I think you need to come forward. Unless you are convenient there.
So their unbelief did not stop at unbelief. They stirred up the Gentiles, made their minds evil affected against the brethren. See verse 3. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitudes of the city were divided, and the part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. That's division, right? Verse 5. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were made aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, unto the region that lies round about. Verse 7, and there they preached the gospel. Go to verse 19. Verse 19 of chapter 14. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, from that same place that they left, who persuaded the people. And having what? Stone Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead.
Yeah.
So, what does their hatred for the truth, what does it produce?
Say, give me a grammar now.
Huh?
Persecution, yes.
Rebellion.
Thank you.
A physical rebellion. So hatred for the truth leads to hatred for the brethren. When you are seeing hatred in 1 John, don't hate your brother. What is the root cause? Hatred for what? The truth.
Sorry, I took you through that long route just to say that.
It was hatred for the truth of God's word that leads to men hating one another. That leads to men hating the brethren. Amen?
Are you with me?
So now, the serpent hated the truth, deceived Eve, deceived her into independence from God.
Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Don't worry, I'm beyond halfway. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3.
But I fear lest by enemies, as the serpent does what? Come on, open, Statula. As a serpent, beguiled Eve, that's deceived, through his subtlety. So your mind should be what? Corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with them. Hmm. Now, in Genesis, was Adam deceived? Who was deceived? Eve. But was Adam deceived? No. This is what happened, like the way, if you follow the timeline of Genesis chapter 3, the serpent deceived Eve. But when Eve came to Adam, do you know Adam did not question Eve? Why?
Priority. I said, why? You bow down your head. Now, my God, why is this my business?
So, we saw that Adam willingly took it. Why? He was not deceived by Eve. He was not deceived by the devil. He took a stand. In fact, let me read again. See verse 6. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. So, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant for the eyes, who was in that? The woman, right? And a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of it thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So Adam did not question Eve. So now write this down. It's either Adam has been nursing the ambition to eat of the truth before, or he has been eating of the fruit before. It's either Adam has been nursing the ambition. Why are you laughing? It's either he has been eyeing the fruit before, or he has been eating of the fruit before. Don't forget to. What we saw in Genesis chapter 3 was now the last straw that broke the camel's back. If you remember in Matthew chapter 12, that was not the first time the Pharisees will say rubbish against Jesus. He now get to a point. Jesus now told them, say, guys, come. What you are doing, you are laboring for something. It's not just one time saying no to the gospel. It's a persistent labor to say, I am not going to take this. So that's why I said that. Is it possible that, don't forget, tree and fruit, why that was, when I said that, maybe he has been taking it before. Why that word seems like ambiguous to you is because you are still seeing it like a fruit. If you are seeing it as words, if you are seeing it as like your confession, what like your stand, it won't be difficult to see that way. Anyway, I'm not back to that series. So, you know, unbelief is not a dating, right? It's progressive. So, Adam himself hated the truth. It is not only the devil that hated the truth. Adam himself hated the truth. So, Eve was deceived, Adam hated the truth. Now, we know that Adam hated the truth. Satan also hated the truth. So, who sowed hatred to who? Who sold the hatred to who? God, don't forget, we know that angels respond to who?
to man.
Angels get their information from who?
From man.
So where do you think the serpent got that verse 1, 2, 3 idea from? You will not surely die. Don't forget, God did not create the evil. Don't forget now, Romans 5 verse 12. What is there? As by one man, sin entered the world. What there? Angels are inclusive. Why did the sin enter? Through who?
One man.
So who copied who? Is this serpent that, is it the devil that copied Adam, or Adam copied the devil? Anyway, one of the two. We don't have to answer that. Now, Genesis chapter 4. I know it's not in that Pastor Seku's book that he was saying that even Adam shielded the serpent and brought out the woman. You know, when he was asking Adam, he didn't talk about serpent. He said, it's the woman now. What do you think that communicated? He didn't take responsibility. That would mean, so in those statements, what are you seeing? There's still rebellion there. The answer of Adam to God is see what? Rebellion. Hallelujah. Praise God. So those words, those are the fruits. That's Genesis 3. That is just the final time. That's just bam. Okay, now go to Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. So Adam, the hatred of Adam, somehow, it was transmitted to Cain. Adam knew the truth but disobeyed. Cain too knew the truth but disobeyed. See Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the first thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very what? Wroth, and his countenance fell. Verse 6. Everybody want to go? Yes. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance falling? Verse 7. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. We see nothing anyway. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So he said, if thou doest well, you wouldn't have been accepted. So does that suggest to us that there is a message that Cain disdained? That would mean Cain did not disobey out of ignorance. Now, this is where I'm going. So that disdain for the truth, that unbelief of Cain, what did it lead to?
Murder.
It didn't stop there. So a man that hates the truth, he does something about his hatred. He won't be quiet about it. So a disdain for the truth came before the hatred of Abel, came before the killing of Abel. It was, so trace, don't forget where I started from today. I said, remember when Jesus was talking about adultery? Sorry, Moses talked about adultery. Jesus now said, no, it's not just adultery. It's a what? The thought. It's not that, it's not like, you know, the way I saw it before, it's like Jesus was trying to make the law more tougher. No, he's not trying to amplify the law. He's explaining why man does what he does. This is where he started from. So, right from when it is still in the heart, God saw it. Hallelujah. Now, go to 1 John chapter 3. Sorry. 20 minutes, 15 minutes now, I'll be done. So, 1 John 3 verse 9. So I've said earlier, I said the hatred for the truth is the reason why they hated the brethren in 1 John. So when he said, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, he cannot sin, wow, because he is born of God. What is he saying? Just write this down. Meaning, anyone born of God does not hate the truth. That's from the context of 1 John. You have to get that. That should be part 4 of this message to get what I'm saying here. We have trashed this out. No, that should be part 3. Part 3, yes. So, anyone born of God does not hate the truth. That's number 1. Are you writing, everybody? Number 2, anyone born of God does not preach false doctrine. Anyone born of God does not hate the truth. Anyone born of God does not preach false doctrine. Anyone born of God does not say Jesus has not come in the flesh. Anyone born of God does not hate his brother. Anyone born of God does not commit sin. I go over it again. Anyone born of God does not hate the truth, does not preach false doctrine, does not say Jesus has not come in the flesh, does not hate the brother, does not sin. Hallelujah. Praise God. So when he was saying, verse 9, that whosoever is born of God cannot sin. See, cannot is cannot. That is so holistic. Don't forget, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 said, he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God is manifested that he may destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9. Look at the Bible. I'm reading it again. Look at the Bible. So, because... Are you that tired? See how you're yawning for your maker. Hallelujah. So, of course, for the devil sinned from the beginning. So, what was the sin of the devil from the beginning? He hated the truth. Now, see how this progressed here. Verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. That means that same thing that Satan did, anyone that is born of God cannot do it because he is born of God. Verse 10, in this the children of God are what? Manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not, doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Oh, so why will a man not love his brother? Stop it. Why will a man not love his brother? He hated the truth. See verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Verse 12, yes. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew him? Why? Because his own works were what? Evil, and his brother's righteous. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, Christians still commit sin. But Christians cannot commit that sin that 1 John is talking about. You have not seen this here. Let me see your hand. Somebody is raising his hand. Hallelujah. You are holy. So when he is saying, whosoever born of God does not commit sin. Start to look, what is he talking about? Man? Does not hate the truth. And does not preach that hatred. Does not hate the brethren. But believers see sin. Don't forget, I categorized sin for you earlier. Number 1, what is there? Moral sins. Number 2, unbelief. Number 3, preaching your unbelief. Number 4, the sin of Adam. So, believers still do number 1, sorry. But believers don't do number, is it number 2 or number 3 now? Hallelujah. Number 2, 3, and 4, right? That's what I'm saying. That's what, remember, I said, for you to now say, unbelief now has categories. You have to listen to what he's saying to now understand if he's still a believer or if he has ever once been a believer. Like the Philetus and Emmanuel that we looked at earlier, those guys, we saw that they were what? They were believers. They were just confused. And they were announcing their confusion. Praise God. So, can a man born of God
Okay, and sorry, let me not confuse you today. Let's leave that. So you must always qualify the sin that the writer is talking about. E.g., in Matthew 12, the sin there cannot be moral sins. When he's saying all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but that of you against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. Don't sleep. That sin cannot be moral sins. Praise God. Are you with me? So, if believers cannot sin, then the intercessory work of Jesus will be useless. If 1 John 3 verse 9 is saying believers cannot commit any moral sins, then the intercessory work of Jesus is useless. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, I have forgiveness. Say, I have forgiveness. Let me tell you, a perfect man does not need forgiveness. So, believers sin, but believers don't speak against his Savior. He does not call his Savior a mere actor. He does not say, what they are saying in 1 John, he does not say Jesus has not come in the flesh. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 3. So, in passing, let me say this. Sin united Adam and Satan. What sin? Unbelief, hatred for the truth. United Adam and Satan. God said, I want man in my image. That was the word of God. Man loved independence. Satan bought his idea. Hallelujah. So we have to learn to spear if a bit. It has rang from generation that if is the reason why Adam fell. No. If only confirmed what has always been Adam's heart. Hallelujah. Okay, I end with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Let's read this loud and clear. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. One to go. Wherefore, I give you. Okay, I wait for you. Rejoice. I wait for you. This is what I'm just saying since morning. Sorry, since evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Want to go? Yes. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse. And that no man but by the Holy. Say, I'm a believer. Say, I don't hate the truth of God's word. Say, I don't do the work of the devil. Say, I am careful to study and to teach the truth of God's word alone. It's very key to be careful with study. Like somebody that like a man that will say words like, well, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is tight. That is God's portion. That man is not careful. He's not careful in his study. Say, I am careful to study the Bible. Say, I am careful to be precise, to bring out the truth of God's word for men. So preaching false doctrine, preaching unbelief is not fun. Because more than one man will suffer for what you are doing. At times generations suffer. Hallelujah. Pray in tongues, everybody. Thank you. Pray in tongues. Wait. Pray in tongues, Kavisteke, Priesteke, Telas, Teke, Bilande, Steke. Believers have forgiveness of sin. Believers have forgiveness of sin. Believers have what? Forgiveness of sin. But believers don't hate the truth of God's word. Believers don't disdain the person of Jesus. Believers don't speak against redemption. Believers don't hate the brethren. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Kalamandas to Gobalama Shantemale Stoke Villaros to Gabande, Katiloso Bales to Gavales to Gavalate, Rosta Gavala, Shatale, Osteke Bilemas, the Bilem Rostake Bandi, Laro Sotala, Katila Makavlino, So Minirasimana, Katila Mazapala Manchete, La Pota, Sate Kitila, Mozapil Rastake Bandi, Dokantalao Sobi, Yepilero Zabala, Cantile Mozapale Manchatile Mazapale, Palaria Stekitile Mozapala Mande. Ankantala mouse, the palamala mouse, the palamas, shatala mouse, the palamas, the kedida, Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, I have total forgiveness. Say, I have total forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Say, I don't hate the truth of God's word. Say, I don't disdain the truth of God's word. Say, I am sincere with Bible interpretation. Glory to God.